Naturally Speaking.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Naturally Speaking Shorts. In these episodes, we give you a quick shot of science to help brighten up your day, a bit like a science espresso. And today we have something special for you, a bit of a double feature. We have two researchers that study various aspects of ecological aging and immunity. First up, we have Mark Hausman, who is an associate professor of biology at Bucknell University. He studies the underlying causes of aging in animals, so really, why do some animals within a species age more quickly than others? He studies this primarily in birds, but has looked at this in a range of different taxa. Isn't that right, Mark? Reptiles,
yep.
Mammals.
Reptiles, saguaro cacti, birds.
Wow.
Hyenas, so.
Everything from cacti to birds. Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Wherever the questions take us, I guess.
Cool. Also with us is Simon Babion, who is a research fellow with us here at the University of Glasgow. And Simon, in his research, tries to understand how the immune system actually works, what constitutes a good immune system, how do immune cells work, and how do we actually go about measuring and quantifying different aspects of the immune system, this incredibly complex response. And he studies this in laboratory model species as well as in animals out in the wild. Is that pretty much it, Simon?
Yeah, I guess so, but a subset of that at least.
Okay. So basically what we do on these sorts of episodes is just sort of talk a little bit about, just in general, what happens in science and academia. And I guess to start things off, what made you guys decide to become scientists?
Right, so...
Don't forget, we can edit out awkward pauses.
That's fine, yeah. I think for me, it just kind of happened. I certainly was that kid who was really interested in, a bit of a naturalist and would just spend time in the woods, or we'd go down to the beach, and my parents got me a field guide, and I was like the 8-year-old kid that's hanging out in the intertidal, identifying different things. And so I always had a love for it, but I kind of thought I was going to go into medicine until I shadowed a doctor and realized it wasn't for me. But I think at some point I realized, I was an undergraduate student and I was doing research, and I realized that my professors were basically getting paid to be curious.
Right.
And that just that shocked me. It's like, you can just go out and ask questions and someone's going to pay you to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I got into it. Cause I just love that idea of you're interested in something, you can just design a study, go do it, and then kind of communicate it. It's a lot of fun.
Simon, how about you?
Yeah, very similar actually. It's not that I decided to become a scientist. It's just that I was really interested in what animals were up to.
Right.
Usually you would find me bottom up in the garden checking out ants all day long. The kind of kid naturalist.
Exactly,
it's probably sad that it was a bit more social.
Yeah. So what would you say has been sort of your most exciting discoveries? You guys both study sort of various aspects of aging and immunity in an ecological context. That's sort of the common theme. Are any particularly things that really got you excited?
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to... I would say that for me, when we first started doing work in telomere biology and ecology, and we found that telomere shortening rates varied with species lifespan, it was kind of this eye-opening thing that we might be onto something that was interesting as a tool to kind of understand aging.
Right.
And so it started off as something that I just was dabbling in during my PhD. I was going to do work on something totally different and did that study on kind of the side. And then all of a sudden I started reading about aging biology and life history evolution. And so I don't know if it was so much a big wow finding, but for me, it kind of opened my eyes up to a different kind of area that I hadn't been reading in and got excited about. And so then from then on, I kind of went all out that way.
And so telomeres are the little bits. Maybe just talk a little bit about that.
Telomeres are these caps found on the ends of your DNA. And so they basically, their job is to protect your DNA. And so the comparison people usually use is they're like the plastic caps found on the ends of your shoelaces.
Right.
Those plastic caps keep your shoelaces from unraveling, and telomeres do the same. But they can be damaged, and when they're damaged, they get shorter. And if they get too short, it causes the cells to die. And so we found that there was this relationship between how quickly telomeres shortened and the lifespan of different species. Not saying that it was a causative relationship,
right,
but an interesting signal. So that got me really just excited in kind of comparative aspects of aging and underlying physiological mechanisms.
Right. Simon, how about you?
Yeah, I think Well, the first thing that really blew me away in biology was how parasites manipulate the hosts. Okay. That was like, oh, this is crazy. What's going on?
Like the fungus that turns ants into sort of zombies. And
right, exactly. Yeah. And in my case, it was that some parasites are suppressing host immune responses to allow their survival, right? Fairly mundane. I started looking more into that and saw that parasites were able to modify how they reproduce according to how strong an immune response the host was mounting.
Really?
And then the second phase, which is really cool, is that, well, if we understand how that works, maybe we can design vaccines that would target that evasion mechanism of the parasite.
So what was the host in this example?
So in this case, it's all lab mice.
Okay.
And hopefully it's applicable to humans.
So how are they manipulating how they were reproducing?
So, it's a two-way system. If the host is looks like it's going to mount a very strong response, when the parasites are still larvae, they detect that and they accelerate the development.
So the parasite reproduction.
So the parasite basically accelerates its development, reproduces earlier, more offspring than it would have otherwise.
Wow. That's amazing.
And of course, if you're, you know, designing vaccines that would trigger that response in the parasite, that's not really cool. Hence the idea of changing the way that we design vaccines to try and circumvent that problem.
That is exciting. Very cool. So in your respective research areas then, sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum here, like what is there that you're studying now that just continues to puzzle you, or any sort of longstanding questions that you're trying to get at?
I mean, I think so a lot of our current work is, and what I was talking about today in the seminar, is kind of exploring interactions between stress biology and aging. And some of the things that we're finding is that, you know, if you have a mother that's stressed, that stress, and she's, if this is a human and it's a pregnant mother, that stress can be passed on to the developing offspring. And so I think some things that we're currently kind of driving us are, why aren't there better mechanisms to protect against that? You would think that there might be. Right. You would think if you have something that's really, really bad for an individual, and a lot of the research that's out there, both in the biomedical community and others, shows that this kind of prenatal stress is really, really bad for the developing individual, then you would think there'd be better systems in place to protect them from it.
Right.
And so that's currently some of the things that we're trying to get a better handle on.
Right. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that really drives me now is trying to figure out how animals deal with all the variation, the infections, ward that off, and how we might basically be able to distinguish the signal from the noise, so to speak. What are the important things that the animals are doing that is successful? And why does the immune system fail in some conditions?
Right. Okay, so following on from that, so what do you think is something, some topic in your field, something that you study, that is something that you wish everyone would understand? That maybe some sort of misconception about the immune system or aging, for example?
Yeah, in my case, I think it's pretty an easy pick. I wish people were more open to combining approaches on the mechanistic approaches and the ecological approaches. Mm-hmm. I think the overlap of those two fields is really key, and surprisingly few people get it.
Right. And just hearing you talk earlier today when you gave a seminar, I think just something that I didn't realize necessarily is just how incredibly complex the immune system actually is, some of the numbers you're talking about the various factors and genes that go into that. Is that something that you think is sort of underappreciated?
No, I think people realize how complex things are within, you know, 30 minutes of an immunology course. I don't think it's any more complex than the ecosystem itself.
Right.
And yet ecologists have developed tools to study that complexity and that variation. That is what I mean by the overlap of these approaches, is that maybe us mechanistic people should take on board some of those ecological approaches to our systems.
Right.
I'm convinced that we can make sense of all that complexity.
Hopefully.
That's all we have to.
I could jump on that, I think, train a little bit too. So that's something that the person I work with here, Pat Monahan, and I talk a lot about. And one of the things that she's gotten some funding to do and that I've been helping her co-organize is these meetings on telomere biology that brings together more molecular and biomedical ties with ecologists and evolutionary biologists, because there's these two different fields right now that really aren't communicating.
Right.
And so the purpose of these meetings is to get to try to get individuals from across fields to communicate. And they've been really fantastic. So we had a meeting in November, and there's just, you know, a lot of, I think, interesting insight both from both sides. We can learn a lot, I think, on methodology from them and just some hardcore kind of cellular and molecular biology. Mm-hmm. But in terms of statistical approaches and evolutionary theory, mm-hmm. and thinking about things from a comparative standpoint, are things that they don't really think about much at all. And so it's been really fun to kind of have that connection and see new collaborations come out of it. So I think that's a similarity probably between our fields.
Cool. Well, just getting ready to wrap things up here, is there any bits of advice that you guys could offer? Are there people, some of your wisdom from other students maybe just embarking on a career in science, or even just earlier career researchers, for example?
Yeah, I guess for that, I would suggest the students to just really kind of go after the questions that they think are the most interesting, not maybe the ones that other ones tell them to pursue.
Right, good one.
So if there's something that they're jazzed about, if it's the ants in the garden, or if it's something in the intertidal, that's what mm-hmm. they should do. Because I think that you hear about it all the time when you talk to people, and maybe you do this on this podcast, is people discover all kinds of crazy things just because they're really interested and they think something's cool and they spend right. time looking at it, and then all of a sudden they learn a lot of really neat things. So that'd be my advice.
Right. Simon?
Yeah, I was going to say roughly the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that you're passionate about what you're doing, because you're going to be doing it for a while.
Right.
And there's nothing better than getting up for a job that you're passionate about.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, guys, that's some good advice there to close things off. And thanks for joining us, giving us some of your time, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Naturally Speaking podcast. If you've got any ideas for future shows or want to get involved, then please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is naturallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. Naturally Speaking is a podcast from the Institute of Biodiversity, Animal Health and Comparative Medicine at the University of Glasgow. For more information, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at the NS Podcast. And you can download future episodes and find more information at our blog at naturallyspeakingpodcast.wordpress.com.